This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Washington and its allies ready additional sanctions on Russia. Plus, we'll go inside the push to supply Ukraine with counter-drone systems and look at why the FDA is pressing pause on an increasing number of clinical trials.
One of the reasons the agency thinks they may have gone up is because of an increase in cutting-edge gene therapies, treating all kinds of challenging diseases because the technology is so new.
It's Wednesday, January 11th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The United States and its allies are preparing fresh sanctions on the Russian oil industry. Those discussions, taking place in meetings across Europe this week, follow new limits that were placed on Russian crude exports last month. Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Steinberg has more.
The aim is to cap the sales price of Russian exports of refined petroleum, and the penalties will set two price limits on Russian refined products, one on high-value exports such as diesel, and another on low-value ones such as fuel oil. That's according to people familiar with the plans. The penalties on refined products could trigger economic consequences globally. Market watchers and some Western officials expect that Russia will have a harder time reorienting its exports of refined products, which could weigh on global prices. Without access to the European market and facing Western sanctions on shipments elsewhere, Russian refining production could decline, which would reduce global supply.
President Biden has reached deals on semiconductors and the climate with the leaders of Mexico and Canada following 2 days of meetings in Mexico. On chips, the leaders agreed to organize a semiconductor forum this year to determine their supply chain needs and investments. On climate, the countries committed to reduce methane emissions from the solid waste and wastewater sector and to develop proposals to cut food waste. And while no additional major programs to tackle migration were announced at the summit, Mexican and U.S. officials agreed to consult on whether they can increase the number of migrants returned to Mexico. The leaders also agreed to expand migrants' legal pathways, address the causes of migration, and to share ways to make the asylum process fairer and more efficient. Back in Washington, bipartisan congressional leaders are demanding information about how classified documents ended up at an office used by President Biden after he left the vice presidency. The new Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee said the panel is launching an investigation into the matter, while the Democratic chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence said that the committee expects to be briefed on what happened. Biden addressed the documents for the first time at a press conference Tuesday in Mexico City, saying that he doesn't know what the documents contain and that his lawyers are cooperating fully with a review of the papers, which he said should be concluded shortly. China has suspended issuing several types of visas to Japanese citizens in response to travel restrictions placed on flights from China to curb the spread of COVID-19, which Beijing has called unacceptable and politically motivated. That move, announced Tuesday evening by the Chinese embassy in Japan, followed a similar retaliatory move to stop issuing short-term visas to South Koreans for a variety of visits. A spokesperson for the Japanese embassy in Beijing didn't respond to a request for comment. And Tesla is considering more than $775 million in expansions at its electric vehicle plant near Austin, Texas, with work potentially starting as early as this month, according to regulatory filings in the state. Those plans indicate that the automaker is maintaining production growth ambitions in the face of Wall Street concerns over demand for its cars. Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on the new construction projects. Drug companies pursuing experimental medicines are increasingly running into opposition from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which, according to a new Wall Street Journal review of FDA data on clinical holds, has been more often pressing pause on clinical trials between 2017 and 2021. And joining us now with a look at why the FDA is stepping in to halt those trials and what effect that is having on drug companies is Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Esley White, who covers life sciences for us out of Washington. Hey, Liz, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Liz, tell us, how often are human trials being stopped by the FDA and why are they being stopped?
Yeah, so the agency has the power to halt a clinical trial whenever there is a concern about safety. So if a patient who's on an experimental drug has an increased risk of illness or injury, or if the agency just thinks the study has some design flaws that need to be worked out, it can put clinical hold, is what it's called, on an experimental drug study. And the agency started doing this many decades ago, but in the years between 2017 to 2021, it did it an average of 664 times, and that's up from 557 times over the previous 5 years. So through mid-December of last year, 2022, FDA had placed 747 of those holds.
Liz, what does the increasing frequency of these holds mean for drug makers?
Yeah, it can be a big deal, especially for a small drug maker, a small startup biotech, for example. If you don't already have a pipeline of drugs that are approved and bringing in cash, it can really, really hurt your timeline for making a profit. And a lot of times, these clinical holds don't have to be disclosed by the company, but many companies find that they need to disclose them, and they can result in shareholder lawsuits or, you know, just cast a dark cloud over a company that takes them a while to get out from. Clinical holds that we're talking about are across all sorts of drugs that the agency oversees. But one of the reasons the agency thinks they may have gone up in the recent years is because of an increase of these cutting-edge gene therapies that are treating all kinds of challenging diseases such as hemophilia, muscular dystrophy. And so as the industry moves more and more into this exciting place in terms of bringing really helpful drugs to patients, FDA is also saying that's probably part of the reason it's having to press pause on more trials, because the technology is just so new.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Esley White, who covers life sciences for us out of Washington. Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll go inside the race to supply Ukraine with drone fighting technology as Kyiv contends with cheap Iranian-made drones that continue to hit its cities and key infrastructure. That story after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Cheap Iranian drones flown by Russian forces have proven to be a significant challenge for Ukraine's air defenses, as Russia uses the drones to hit Ukraine's cities and energy infrastructure. The U.S. and its allies are searching for a defense solution for Ukraine. And while our colleague Daniela Czeslow reports that a new Pentagon contract to supply a counter-drone system to Ukraine may help, it's unlikely to provide full air cover.
The new weapon system has an intimidating name, the Vampire, and it has a formidable mission. It uses sensors to find drones day or night and then blows them up with laser-guided munitions. That's the sound of the Vampire firing. It's compact and it can fit in the back of a commercial pickup truck.
This configuration is specific to Ukraine, and I will say, concept-wise, it's fair to say that this is its first combat deployment.
That's Luke Savoy, president of the Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Business at L3 Harris Technologies, based in Florida. Late last week, L3 Harris announced it had signed a $40 million contract with the Pentagon to supply Ukraine with 14 Vampire systems. They can't come fast enough. Russia first deployed Iranian drones en masse in September, and since then, it's used them against Ukraine's electrical grid. Here's how Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky put it to Congress in December.
Iranian deadly drones sent to Russia in hundreds became a threat to our critical infrastructure.
The most notorious Iranian drone is the Shahed 136. It's got longer range than most Russian-made drones, and it's made from mostly commercial parts. Russia's been able to fire them in large numbers. It's made them effective, even though they're cheap. Iran doesn't publish the price of its drones, but military analysts estimate they cost between $20,000 and $100,000 apiece. Here's Sam Bendett at the federally funded Center for Naval Analyses.
It is a very loud engine. It's been nicknamed the flying moped.
The damage from those flying mopeds can be severe. This is part of a video released by the State Emergency Service of Ukraine showing first responders fighting a fire that broke out in Kyiv after a drone strike in late December. Ukrainians have improvised a response to intercept the majority, but not all, of the drones. Sometimes troops shoot guns right at the drones. They've also used surface-to-air missiles and air-to-air missiles. But using pricey weapons is not sustainable, Bendett says.
It's always this trade-off. You want to shoot down everything, but you can't run out of money purchasing expensive equipment and missiles.
Hitting drones in the air is one of a few approaches to taking them down. The U.S. is also developing lasers and high-powered microwaves, but neither technology has matured enough to match the Shahed 136. Another option is jamming the drone's signals or navigation systems. But the Shahed 136 has been dodging that tactic, too, using an anti-jamming antenna. At a counter-drone conference last month in Arlington, Virginia, I got a glimpse of how the Shahed 136 has sparked a race in the private defense industry. John Gruen is CEO of Fordham Technologies, an airspace security firm based in Utah. It makes the Drone Hunter system, which captures drones in nets, and he says he's factoring the Iranian drones into his plans.
We have certainly been made aware of the characteristics the Shahed 136, and we have made improvements that can capture that type of drone.
The Vampire counter-drone system was first promised in August. It took until December for the contract to be signed, according to L3 Harris. The Pentagon hasn't said what was behind the delay. Here's Luke Savoy again of L3 Harris.
It was just a process to get to the right contract vehicle and the right mechanism in order to get us turned on.
Once the Vampires arrive in Ukraine, the first four will be delivered mid-year and another 10 by the end of 2023, there won't be that many. Some experts think hundreds are needed to give Ukraine comprehensive air coverage. Scott Crino, a former military helicopter pilot and co-founder of the Red 6 Solutions consulting firm, says there is still no complete solution to defending Ukraine in this new phase of drone war.
We have made a lot of strides in creating capabilities that are effective against Shahed. Our ability to get those systems to Ukraine and get them integrated into their defensive structure has been somewhat more limited.
In the meantime, the U.S. is trying to use other tools to reduce the Iranian drone threat. It says it's trying to choke off the movement of the drones and sanction the Russian and Iranian arms trade. But that arms trade is evolving, too. The U.S. has warned Russia and Iran could be considering a joint production line for more drones and start making them in the thousands. That means Ukraine and its allies will have to keep adapting. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Daniela Cheslow.
And finally, if it feels like this year's flu season is hitting harder than most, well, doctors say you're right. It is. And Wall Street Journal health reporter Andrea Peterson has been speaking to doctors about why. Robert Frank, a pediatrician at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, chalked things up to the cyclical nature of the flu, as well as the lifting of COVID precautions, whether that's working from home, wearing a mask, or having smaller social gatherings. And faced with a particularly miserable flu season this year, Peterson says that other doctors are repeating their longstanding advice.
Doctors told me that getting your flu shot is really important because it reduces the risk of infection and of complications if you do catch the virus. Flu activity tends to be highest in January and February. So even though we've already seen one wave, there's a high likelihood that we'll have another one. Also, even if you've had the flu already this year, you can get it again because two main types of flu circulate, type A and type B. So even if you've had one version of it, you can still get the other one.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.